Welcome everyone. Today we have Kamala Chambers here with us. Kamala is known as a speaker, best-selling author, launch strategist, passive income consultant, podcast host, and the CEO of Thriving Launch. Her online business success allows her the freedom to travel the world and vacation at her self-built eco-home on the beautiful San Juan Island. She wrote the book, Road to Love, Lessons and Love Letters from a Journey to Intimacy, which follows a 15-year journey through all her past relationships. For over 10 years, she's mentored entrepreneurs and businesses all over the world, specializing in product launches, creating passive income, and podcast production. Kamala is the creator of Launch School, an online classroom that gives all the action steps and accountability that you need to launch your online course. Since the creation of Launch Course, she's helped hundreds of entrepreneurs and coaches around the globe with their online launches. So welcome, Kamala.
Thank you so much. I'm feeling a little exhausted thinking I did all those things.
Yes, you did. I am so glad that you're here because I know it's been difficult. You've been traveling. Actually, you are in Colombia now, which is your new home for as long as, you know, you guys feel you like it. So that's, you know, part of definitely having an being a lifestyle entrepreneur. So let's dive in, if that's okay with you. Can you share with people how you became an entrepreneur? And I know for you, building a business around your lifestyle has been something that has been really dear to your heart from as long as I've known you. So can you share a bit about that story?
Yeah, I started out, I would say, at a very young age. I started my first business at 19. And part of it was because when I was a teenager, I got the opportunity to hitchhike all over. At 15, I hitchhiked around the U.S. and 16 around Canada and 17 around Europe. And I really found that traveling was the best schooling I could ever have. I learned the most about the world, about myself, and I wanted to have the opportunity to have that level of freedom. So I started my first business at 19, and then it just continued to progress from there. And when I was about 25, I realized if I have my business online, I'm not tied to a location, I can do it from anywhere. And so I went full-time online at that time.
Awesome. So can you share with us how you got started online? What kind of service or product did you have, and how did you get started to build that audience?
Yeah, I first started as a contributor, writing articles for a magazine, an online magazine. And then I was a full-time health coach, actually. And I was coaching people full-time over Skype and over the phone. And I found that I had to keep repeating the same things over and over to every person. You need to do this. And I found that more people needed business help than anything. And I found I had a real knack for that too. So I ended up creating online courses around about like eating for your mood and different things like that. And then that developed into teaching other people how to create online courses.
Yeah, so basically really early on you realized that one-on-one work was not really for you because, well, you have to, first you feel like you're repeating yourself, you know, over and over potentially, and then that's not something you can really scale, right? I mean, it's great if people want to keep having one-on-one work, but at some point if you want to scale your business and give yourself some time to do other things, either business related or not, then you have to find another way. Otherwise, you're going to cap very quickly.
So true.
So how did you transition from there? Because I know when I met you, you were not a health coach. So how did you transition to the next phase? And what was it?
Well, I found when I was health coaching, a lot of the clients that I was working with were also coaches, and it just happened that they had more questions about, well, how are you able to fill your practice, how are you selling online courses? And so I found that I got to use more of my skills teaching people about how to help with their online business than I did as a health coach, because as a health coach and as an energy medicine practitioner, which I was in the past, I got to use a lot of these intuitive parts of myself. But as someone who mentors people on how to grow an online business, I have the opportunity to use both my intuitive side, but also my very logical, strategic mind, which I think that's the real key and the real gift, is to be able to find those things that we love to do that use as many skills as we have and kind of stretch ourselves to the very max. That's the gift, right? That's the key.
Absolutely. I mean, I love that. Basically, you transition to this because people kind of told you, right? So you listen to people and they say, but hey, Kamala, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I think that that's how great, products and great, you know, success comes, is when you actually listen to your people and let them tell you why they are attracted to you and what they would like to learn from you. And that's how you create a service or a product around that. And you already have your audience.
Yeah, I unfortunately see a lot of people doing it the other way. They say they have a great idea and they think, oh my God, this is such an amazing idea. Everyone's going to love it. But what happens most of the time is that it just flops. And I really encourage people to make sure that you're creating something that people want and that you know that people want and they're desperate for. And so it really helps to have, it helps to do the market research or to communicate with an audience before you create anything.
Absolutely. So, I mean, and that's the, you know, the theme, like with all the people I am talking to, you know, that are successful, you know, either with membership solutions or services, it's basically they listen to people and then they create a product. It's great to have ideas, but you have to experiment with them and you have to have conversations with people. And if you have clients, have conversation with them. If you don't have clients, find these people where they are and figure out what is the problem and then create a solution for it, if you have the expertise.
Absolutely.
So from there, did you transition to something else before you moved on to Thriving Launch and the podcast?
So what happened is that I met Louise Congdon, who is my current business partner, and we're engaged. And he had a podcast, but he really didn't have any kind of business. He just had a passion for interviewing really famous people. And I had online courses, but I was getting to a cap level of how big my audience was and how many people I could reach. So what we decided to do was bring together those two skills. He really encouraged me to start a podcast. And so we started a podcast together where we were able to offer the online courses. That way, he was finally making money from having a show, and I had a bigger audience. So it was the perfect combination to come together. And that company has grown and grown and grown. And now we run it from anywhere. We have an amazing staff working with us, and we're consulting with people in large companies on how to get their podcast going, how to monetize it, how to get their message out there in a bigger way, and all things digital marketing.
So basically, you are using the podcast to build your audience. You're attracting people through this podcast. And then I guess through your business model is to funnel these people through getting them to purchase one of your courses based on what they're looking for. So how does that look like? What kind of interviews do you do? I mean, I've seen, you know, quite a few of them, obviously, but what is the general, like, profile that you're looking for your podcast to try, you know, do you have several courses that you sell depending on what people are looking for besides the podcast coaching, I guess?
Yeah, we do have several courses. So we have three different tiers. Most people coming through the podcast, they'll buy a course from us, either one to help them launch their own podcast, make money from a podcast, to launch an online course. And then the next tier is we do consulting to help people with those things. And then, or companies, we go in and consult with companies. And the tier after that is we do done-for-you services, where we actually do full-on podcast production, full-on course creation, and, you know, building, like, everything that has to do with a podcast, building out the podcast website, getting your social media strategy in place around it, getting the launch strategy in place. So it's a lot of different things that we offer, but it's right now it's through the lens of podcasting.
I see. Okay. So how do you structure your day and your time? Because I know you travel a lot, but I do you like work a lot during the week? And how do you divide your work between looking for people for the podcast? I know you're part of the interviews, all of them, you know, it's the two of you. And then you have the courses that I guess they are self-study, right? People, you're not launching them, right? People get them as, you know, as they go through your funnel. And then you have the consulting. So how do you manage, you know, the traveling that you do in running this business without, you know, overwhelm, without going crazy?
Yeah, well, the best move that we ever made was hiring and outsourcing. And so right now, that's also something I help people with, is how to hire and onboard a whole team of people for not that much money, and to be able to have people do pretty much run your company for you without you having to spend any time managing them. Right now, our team is completely self-sufficient. They've taken over probably 95% of my work. Other than going out and actually doing the consulting or doing the interviews. But for our podcast, we put so much into the production. We create videos, we create graphics, the whole thing's transcribed. It's a lot that goes into each episode. But our work is all the only thing that we have to do. We don't even book the guests. The only thing we have to do is to show up for the interview. So it takes... Even when we're doing a show 5 days a week, we're able to do it in just, you know, half a day. We're able to create all that content. And it's the same thing for our YouTube channel. We just have to show up and shoot the video, and the team takes care of the rest. I really can't say enough about making sure that you have the support around you. I always was afraid that too much money would be going out to hire an outsourcing team, but honestly, it's just the opposite. It freed up my time to actually focus on the things that were going to bring in income rather than all of these other little tasks.
Yeah, I love this. I think that, I mean, people know and they hear that you need, you know, outsourcing is what's going to give you the time to focus on the big task that you should be doing and not the other stuff that you're not good at or somebody else could be doing for you. But people are, you know, there is this fear of when is a good time to invest, because you got to know your numbers. I mean, if you know you bring in X number of people to a podcast and you're going to have X person that's going to buy a course at the end, then you kind of know your ROI, right, on your investment. So I think for people, there is this fear of building this team too soon and not knowing, you know, if that's a good move, kind of like how you felt. So what is your advice for people? I guess I'm sure you have that question with people that want to launch podcast businesses. When is a good time to start outsourcing, and what should they start outsourcing?
Yeah, if you're spending more time doing little tasks than you are bringing in money, then you should probably be outsourcing. When you have the knowledge on what you need to done, but you don't have time to do it, when your to-do list is larger than your actual opportunity to bring in money, if you're not able to give your clients everything you need, or everything that they need, because you're spending so much time with your website, with with your social media, with creating content, with getting it out there to the world, all of the different things that you have to do in your business to keep it running, then you should probably start outsourcing.
Awesome. So that, great tips there. How much of your business is automated? Because you have a team, you know, you have like a large team, obviously. How much of it is automated?
Yeah, it really depends on if we're in a launch phase. So if we want to, if we're gearing up towards a big project, some of, you know, that takes more time and energy and focus. Mm-hmm. But if we're just in a phase that is, the business is just kind of where it is right now, where we're just kind of kicking back, enjoying being in Colombia and letting the business run itself, then it really, it's, we can work as little as a couple hours a week. Mm-hmm. So the things that I spend my time doing are posting little projects, just maybe a couple hours a week. I post projects for my team, new projects that I want them to do. Everything that they have that's ongoing, they know how to do. They manage themselves. I never even get on Skype with them. They're completely self-sufficient because of the way that we train them. And so I spend a few hours a week posting projects, a few hours a week doing interviews. And that's really it, other than the time that we spend going into companies and consulting with them. Or if we're doing coaching or consulting for clients, we'll do that too. We'll spend that time.
Okay, so it sounds like you have the process of hiring a team, you know, figured out. So can you share, I know that this is one of the things that you coach and teach people that work with you, but can you share with us some tips for people to get started when they need to hire a team? What to look for, what to not look for? Do you have like anything that is not obvious that you found, you know, could save people time and money, basically?
Yeah, we could spend a lot of time on this topic, but I'll give you as much as you'll let me give you.
Yeah.
The first thing is you want to make sure you're going to where people are. You can hire people, you know, you can have team members for under $10 a day. You can have someone taking over your tasks. People that charge $5 an hour, that are highly, highly skilled at what they do. So the first thing is finding a place where those people are spending time. I can send you a link if you want on where to find the people. Or actually, I have a book that you don't even have to opt in for. I can just send you a book and people can get all the resources and links for how,
sure,
to do that, if that would be helpful.
That would be awesome, yeah.
So some other things that you want to look out for is making sure that people can fill out an application and they actually follow instructions. So I kind of take it through a multi-tiered process where, can they fill out the application exactly how I want them to fill it out? If not, then they get tossed aside. Do they have the skills that I need in the application? Or do they have too many skills? They say they can do everything. Okay, then I toss them aside. Do they have bad ratings or reviews? Then, okay, if they have bad ratings, I toss them aside. Okay, now if they followed all those other things, then do they show up on time for the interview? You know, I set an interview time with them. I send them a calendar link so I don't have to go and spend a lot of time scheduling with them. I try to, when I'm in a hiring process, I try to have like 4-hour time slots so I can just interview people 15-minute slots back to back to back, because a lot of people, they won't even show up for the interview. If you love what they do on the interview, then can they actually follow a task? So I give them a trial project. So it's kind of a whole series of things that I make people, hoops that I make people jump through, because I need a certain quality of person that can not only be able to do the task amazing, but manage themselves and be self-sufficient. So I'm not, all of a sudden my new job isn't being a manager, because that's not what you want hiring. You don't want to all of a sudden spend all that time managing. So those are some of the tips, and that I have it in that little guide that I'll send you to.
Awesome. I think that that's really helpful for people, because that's often something that scares people. You know, where can I find these people? And how do I find out, you know, like if they are actually able to do, you know, what they say they can do, right? You have people that claim they can do everything. So that is, you know, that's, so I think it's a great idea to give them like a small project and see how they perform, basically. Because the idea is really to build that longer term relationship, right? You don't want to keep hiring, you know, looking for people over and over, because this is your time that you literally have to spend. So it's precious.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Awesome. So can you share with us, Kamala, where can we find out more about the podcast, the launch school? What is going on? Do you have any launch coming up? You mentioned you were doing launches. So you do have periods of time where you do work more, like you said, because you're in launch time. Is that like once a year that you do that? What's your, or is that when you guys feel like it?
Yeah, it's kind of like when we're gearing up and want to do something big. We spent about 2 months working pretty solid in May and June. We were just working nonstop. Then I took the rest of the summer off, and my team took care of everything. And now I'm starting to think about getting back into work. And, you know, we're doing little, you know, I have, even having clients, new clients, takes very, very little work for me at this point. It's just about, like what I said, posting little tasks for the team and just making sure the client is as happy as they can be and stuff like that. And kind of being the project manager for the client, and then the team takes care of everything else. So, yeah, we have another launch coming up. It's our paid to podcast product, which is, it basically teaches everybody how to make money podcasting, how to launch a podcast, how to grow a podcast, and launch their own course. And then we have an event that we were putting on in January in Seattle, Washington.
Awesome. So can you let us know, how can people find out more about you? Should they go to Thriving Launch? Where should we send them?
At thrivinglaunch.com. Here, I'll put my, there's my, yeah, there's my logo.
Yes.
Thrivinglaunch.com mm-hmm. is a good place. And if, you know, if you guys are just looking for some free resources or another good podcast to listen to, I'm happy to, you know, we really just try to give a lot of value to people, whether they become our customers or not. So our show is really about getting people value.
Yeah, and I really love how you have extracted, well, one, you have really great people on it. I don't know how you guys manage to do that, but you do have amazing people that are really interesting and very inspiring. And then I love that you have the whole transcript below, right?
Yeah.
It's the conversation and stuff. And I know that takes a lot of time. There are people that are doing it. I know you are not doing it, but that's a huge value to me, because I spend more time if I see the transcript. Because honestly, sometimes I will look at the transcript, I will see what it talks about, and if it sounds like I'll be interested, then I will listen. You know, sometimes I do that with my class. I think it's great that you have the transcript, and it's great for SEO as well. Awesome.
Yeah,
so,
you know, all of that.
Yeah. So do you have any place where people can get some freebies from you? Is that on Thriving Launch that you have an opt-in?
Yeah, Thriving Launch, we have a lot of freebies there. And I also have the outsourcing guide there, but I'll send that to you directly, and you can decide to share that however you want. So if people are interested in outsourcing or starting a podcast, we have tons of free resources. So like I said, even if you never become a client or a customer, at least you get value from what we're offering.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I've seen that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Kamala. I know you just, you know, you were in San Diego, and then by the time I wrote to you, you had already left and you were traveling again. And now you're in Colombia. Sounds like you're settling for, you know, sometimes. And that's, you know, the lifestyle that you guys chose. It's like you're going to stay there for as long as you feel like it, which is awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time. And we'll definitely put links below the video. And thank you for coming on the interview.
Thank you. So great to be here with you and everyone who's tuned in. It's always a pleasure to share, and I look forward to connecting with all of you.
Thank you.